Welcome to Ask an Innovator, where we interview senior executives about innovation. You can find us at askaninnovator.com or subscribe with your favorite podcast app. I'm your host, Josh Barker, CEO of City Innovation Labs.
All right, welcome to Ask an Innovator. This is a special episode. This is the first one in which we're going to just kind of describe the goals of why we're doing Ask an Innovator. So I'm here with Brad Hammonds. So he's my partner at City Innovation Labs. And so I'm Josh Barker. I'm the host. And today we're just going to be having an open discussion between the two of us. So Brad, why don't you just give us a high level of what is Ask an Innovator?
Yeah, sure. So Ask an Innovator is a podcast that we're doing, and we're basically talking to a number of senior executives in different industries and really just talking about innovation. So what is innovation to them? What are innovative things that they see within their industry? And then what are they doing in their company to kind of stay on the cusp of, you know, the bleeding edge and innovation? And how are they responding to what their competitors are doing and whatever else? So we're having a number of conversations and just a wide variety of industries. So anywhere, you know, from manufacturing to medical to, you know, transportation, or learn from kind of all different industries.
And it's interesting what we can learn from. If you're talking about going into different industries, there's so many things that we can learn from each other. With you're talking to someone from manufacturing who might have some ideas on how to build a culture of innovation, who's talking to someone about in the publishing industry where they're facing pretty much some really rough uphill things with publishing dying and more towards the digital. And so there's a lot of things that we can learn from each other of how to take old concepts, make them new, culture. You're going to hear a wide variety of different things on our podcast about topics within innovation, right?
For sure. And I think your background's kind of in a, you know, working in a few different industries, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, that's a good point. I mean, my background is feels a little schizophrenic because it's all over the place. So I come from really going back to the travel industry. So I was in there for a while I started my early beginnings as a software engineer, and really from there moved on to an employee recognition company where we were doing a lot of cool things with digital. And one of the things that while I was there that we did is built a social network around employee recognition. Essentially, a company will have employees that have long-standing tenure at a company, so maybe 1, 3, 5, 10 years, and they would get recognized through being able to select an item from a catalog, a pin or a ring, or some way of recognizing that employee and rewarding them for their years of service, in addition to doing good things. So that was a really fun project to be able to bring a digital spin to it, because when I got there, they're doing so many innovative things even today. And it's cool to see the transition really from a manufacturing company where they started manufacturing some of these rings, some of these lapels, some of these different things that are tangible, to moving more towards the digital space where now it's, while they're still doing and embracing their old roots, they're also embracing this younger generation that really engages on platforms like mobile, on platforms like the computer day to day in the office. So it's cool to see that transition where it's adopting things that they see, like Facebook, for example, right? They can see and they can like, they can comment, they can now, you know, in the system, there's instead of like, it's applaud, right? So they can do all these different things and engage in the same way that they're familiar with. So that's a cool thing.
And there's like, I think there's like hundreds of companies using this.
Yeah, hundreds. Yeah.
Tens of thousands of users. So
a lot of users.
It's worked out really well for them.
Oh, absolutely. So. They've really taken that concept when I was there and ran with it. And they're doing some cool things now with mobile, doing some cool things with performance, like helping measure sales performance metrics and things like that, and rewarding their employees on milestones. It's really cool to see the progression. We've stuck around, we've stuck with them along the journey, and they've just been a skyrocketing company, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah.
So, and from there, moved on to KPMG, and that's just a fantastic company in that, you know, I've really learned a lot working there. So I was kind of associate director of innovative solutions. I mean, first and foremost, what I would say is the culture there is something that I really learned a lot about, building a culture that supports innovation. And it's pretty cool because I think that a lot of companies struggle with this, and this is almost pivotal and core to building any type of innovative product or thing. Because
and there's a lot of myths too around surrounding innovation.
Absolutely,
right?
You're exactly right. I mean, people think that you got to be the smartest person in the room, like a Steve Jobs-esque, right? You got to hire one person to do all the innovation, or innovation can't be systematized, right? So, I mean, that's such a fallacy, right? Of innovation can be systematized and everyone can innovate. And it's just a matter of putting the right process in place to help support that. But furthermore, like I was, you know, talking about at KPMG, is really the right culture, because having a culture that is, you know, I really like, someone gave this definition of failure. It's a successful way of finding out the wrong way to do something, which I really like that a lot, because that really shows a culture of willing to take risks and not afraid of failure, but adopting that failure is part of the process. So to me, I mean, I really like that definition. I think that's key to a part of a culture. Here at City Innovation Labs, we actually have a core value that says throwing bad things at the wall. We try and make that as low barrier, because we do believe that, you know, while some people think there are bad ideas, the problem with saying there's bad ideas is then you clam up other people of willing to share what might be a partial good idea or a partial bad idea. And so that might drive further good ideas. So being able to have a culture that's willing to not to be afraid to take risks and not be afraid to even share ideas that might not be popular or might not be good ideas in their minds, but might have a hint of a good idea. So that's something that KPMG really did well. One of the things that we did there is we built a system internally, and we were building a system to allow developers to build their code more quickly, because when you're building code and you're building products, a lot of times there's these building blocks that you have to start with on every single project. So you have to do over and over and over again. So for technical folks, they know what I'm talking about with setting up servers, setting up continuous integration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't want to get too deep in the lingo, but effectively there's a couple weeks worth of work sometimes that would have to be set up. And then additionally, there's these different teams you have to engage, security and networking. And what we were looking to do is really automate and scaffold that process to bring what it was a couple weeks to months long process down to really minutes, to where you could, you know, almost wizard through and select, here are the requirements for my project and a kind of a web interface, and be able to auto scaffold, and it would auto deploy every environment that's been vetted by, pre-vetted by security, pre-vetted by the network team, kind of blessed all the way around. So that was definitely something that we were looking and had been bringing to market at KPMG. Then I left KPMG, so my friend called me up. He's a lifelong friend. His name's Todd. So he said, hey, Josh, I've got an opportunity. He moved to Silicon Valley probably 5 years before. He said he sat down at breakfast and pitched an idea to one of his friends who he didn't know was an accredited investor, and said, hey, this is the idea I've got. Would you come and consider quitting your job at KPMG and building this startup with me over in Silicon Valley? KPMG was such a good company that it was a very hard decision for me to make. And at first I told him no, actually. I said, no, I can't do that. You know, he's told me the amount of money, and I'm like, well, that's not very much runway. We're going to need some more money. So if you really wanted to do this, you're going to have to like basically triple the amount of investment. So he, Todd, of course, the guy he is, he kicks down doors. And Brad, you know Todd too. You work with him as well. And he kicked down doors and made it happen, and called me back, I think almost a week or two later, and said, I've got the money, let's go. And, you know, and so I was sitting there thinking to myself, oh crap, I didn't think I'd actually have to make a decision. And so brought it back to the wife and thought and prayed about it, and was like, oh man, I think this is the move we need to make. So left KPMG, went to do the Silicon Valley startup, and man, I learned a lot in building a startup, let me tell you. So a startup, Silicon Valley, I mean, I think I was living in a fantasy world before then, even when I was at KPMG, and even when I was at the employee recognition company and prior, I was really, really trying to get my bearings on how do you build products the right way. And Brad, you've said this about products. You've said it's easy to build a product, it's hard to build the right one.
Exactly, so, yeah.
That's where I learned that lesson really hard when I was doing this Silicon Valley startup, and really learning a lot about lean startup, learning about MVP, so how to do minimum viable product, how to find product market fit. That's actually a lot harder, right? So it's a huge fallacy that you're gonna go out and build a product and tons of users are gonna flock to it, like a Field of Dreams moment, right? So it's very different than that. And it's the approach that lean startup takes is very, hey, let's test it and run experiments and let's test value propositions. So rather than going out and building something immediately, like we all want to do, right? I'm a builder at heart, and I know, Brad, you're a builder too. We like to build things together. And so it's hard not to get ahead of ourselves and say, let's build something. And so what we ended up doing was we built something at first. We failed really fast and really hard. And so we ended up building this live streaming platform, thought it was going to be a big hit, and it tanked. You know, we ran the numbers on it and looked at the data, and the data, no one really wanted to do it. We had 10,000 signups for a single class to watch remotely and to participate. But really, when we looked at the numbers...
This is in the fitness space, right?
Fitness space, that's right. Yeah. I should explain that. It was in the fitness space. The concept was, you know, 66% of gym memberships go unused. So how do we make people and encourage their health to get better and increase the number of people that actually follow through on their commitment to work out and to get healthy? And that's a very hard problem to solve. So we first tried doing that by doing a live streaming product that effectively allowed paired up people and instructors that wanted to do a yoga class, like in California, for example, with someone in Michigan or all over the world. And again, like I said, that failed pretty bad. So 10,000 signups for one class. We thought that was awesome. We're like, oh, we're onto something big. And then we actually looked at the data and there was only 15 to 20 people that actually attended. And we're like, oh, that's a terrible conversion rate. You know? So we're sitting here baffled, scratching our head. And we tried a lot of different little things, but we ended up pivoting probably 6 or 7 different times. And I won't go through all the different pivots. Being a software developer, it's almost, I don't want to say a guarantee, but it's a lot of times there are gamers too. So my background is gaming, right? So when I was younger, particularly, I was a very avid gamer, talking about video gamer. And so I ended up saying, well, what if we gamified the fitness space? What if we made it into a game, right? The end result was I ran a test in which we took 5 people and put them up against another 5 people. First, we tested it over text, right? And we said, let's do this. I'll join both groups as kind of a silent observer, and I'll release 60-second challenges throughout the day, and they have to do those challenges, and they have to post social kind of credibility that they did it by taking a picture. And then furthermore, they'd actually have to do exercises. There was some trust involved so that they'd have to validate it, but they would also post that and get points. So we ended up doing this, and it was wildly successful. And I didn't know it at the time until after we ran the data. And, you know, wouldn't you know it, out of the 10 participants, 9 out of the 10 were avid participators, where they would actually post 30, 40 times a day, which is, that's insane numbers, right? So I'm sitting going, maybe this is an anomaly. Let's try rerunning this again with more users. So I told this to the group. We were all running each our own experiments. And when I told it to the group, they were like, oh my gosh, let's each run one of these groups. So I had 2 groups of 10, and then everyone else had 2 groups of 10. We had a small group team of about 5 people. So we were running, 20 times 500 people through this thing. So we did it, and same results. So we said, oh my gosh, we have something truly special here. And I truly believe into this day that we found product market fit. But after that, it was really difficult because we got into the mire of, okay, well, now how do we automate that, right? We found something. How do we automate it? And we went down that road of trying to automate it, and we just couldn't pivot fast enough. But really, through this experience, it gave a lot of insight into how to build products and how to build the right products. Not necessarily, you know, how to build them, because I knew before, but how to find the right products. So that was such an interesting journey, even to today, where we're now, you and I, had kind of partnered up and done City Innovation Labs, and we've really applied a lot of these concepts to our business. And maybe you can explain a little bit to the audience about City Innovation Labs.
Yeah, for sure. My background is in a number of startups as well, and really it's been awesome to kind of use a lot of these principles we've learned and kind of startup land, like, you know, even things like Google Design Sprints, design thinking activities, mm-hmm. and the practice of user experience or UX, and really apply them to enterprises. So a lot of enterprises today are kind of rethinking their business model. There's terms thrown out there like digital transformation, innovation. How do we embrace digital and how do we innovate? And looking at, you know, like what our competition is doing, well, they're like launching cool new products and stuff. How do we do that too? So we've really had the opportunity to go into a lot of these like well-established organizations that have been around for a while, and they might be in manufacturing or healthcare or agriculture or transportation or whatever, and really just think about, well, how do we How do we utilize, you know, digital technology and concepts that we've learned kind of in startup land to build innovative products within your company? So kind of a startup or a product within a larger company enterprise. And, you know, we've worked with chemical distribution companies. So any sort of chemicals you can think of, like the soap in the car wash or your paint on your house or epoxy on your floors, they have this large distribution network and sell those chemicals to essentially manufacturing companies that might produce like paints. And we're undertaking a really interesting project with them where it's like, well, how do we increase sales? They have tons and tons of customers and they have many opportunities within their data of like someone might order a product and then they might not order it, or they might request a sample and then they never buy the product. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard for a salesperson or a sales team to kind of look at that data and see the key opportunities. But what we're undertaking is actually developing an artificial intelligence system that kind of looks at all that data. It breaks it down into actionable tasks for their sales team. Like, hey, there's an opportunity here, act on it. And kind of allows us to take all that data and actually make it useful. Because organizations today, one of the greatest challenges they're facing is actually having too much data. It's no longer a question of collecting data, it's actually making it actionable and making it useful. So, you know, we've undertaken a number of innovation projects that have to do with data, and this is a really interesting project.
I think one of the things that we've said is they're data heavy and information poor.
Exactly. Yeah. So, most organizations today, like, someone will sell them on the idea of implementing some sort of analytics system, but it just isn't set up correctly. It isn't tracking stuff that's useful. And we even learned if you can create a culture and create a process of experimentation and look at your data very regimentedly, you'll develop great products. So we've set up a number of these systems with startups, you know, in companies, and so many innovation projects, you know, have been just really interesting. Another example of one we did was an IoT project. So if you're not familiar with the term IoT, it's Internet of Things. It's kind of taking, you know, a lot of traditional things and connecting them to the internet. So some things that you guys like might know about are things like, you know, the Nest thermostat, you know, connected, or the Alexa, and hopefully I didn't just trigger your Alexa here at your house. But so we had a company approach us that they build these Apple storage facilities, and it's kind of a cool concept. They have these facilities that create perfect atmospheric conditions for the storage of apples. So you can store apples for, I think, up to years, they said, you know, testing the outer limits of it. And they're just like a fresh apple picked from the tree, stored in these warehouses that they build. But one of the problems they're facing is they collect a lot of data on, you know, perfect storage conditions, and they do monitoring, but it was all localized. They'd have to have somebody drive around to each of the facilities and look at the day's data and make tweaks. So what we're able to do is bring all that data kind of into the cloud and create a system in which someone could log on anywhere in the world and look at all of their facilities and tweak settings and kind of look at how the apples were doing and stuff. So just another example of an innovation project we did. And
one of the things that's cool about that one is you're just playing off your data. Even take that example alone, well, now that they're aggregating all this data in the cloud from all these geographically dispersed locations and customers, now they can actually mask their data so you don't know where it's coming from, but you can aggregate it and look at trends across all your customers, which is really kind of cool, right?
Yeah, exactly. So like a big thing for us in any project that we do is we always think about what is the ROI. So a lot of times, you know, we've seen organizations just go into projects because, oh, I think it's a good idea, or I feel like we should do this or whatever. But we always go into it thinking and putting our business hats on and thinking, what kind of return are we going to get for this? And it's absolutely critical to have good data and to do tracking and analytics to then see, like, okay, did this project meet ROI expectations? And it's very important. a lot of technology people just think about, like, oh, what would be cool to build or what would be fun? And we kind of think of ourselves as both technologists and business people. So we want to speak to the stakeholders of the company. What is the ROI here? And what would we do if we were in their shoes?
Right. So
another example of an interesting project was we worked with a company. They manufacture cleaning and inspection equipment for municipalities' sewer systems. So cities have been facing this problem for a while now, is they have so many sewer lines. They have just thousands of miles of them, especially big cities in the U.S. like New York, Chicago, L.A. Typically, the cities will have one crew that kind of does inspection of the systems. And if they're to take that crew and just do all of the lines in the whole system, it would take an average of like 30 to 40 years to inspect all of the systems. It's crazy. So, and a lot of times what will happen is these problems will crop up before they've inspected it. And we've all heard the term, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So it's much more beneficial to the city if they see a problem like a tree root growing through the line or whatever else while it's small before it gets huge and there's a big, huge crater in the middle of the road or something.
Right.
So this company, what we've kind of worked on with them, which is a really innovative concept, is they have built a preliminary inspection camera that goes on to the end of the cleaning equipment. So cities will have 10, 15, 20 times as many cleaning crews as inspection crews. So now they've enabled the cleaning crews to do kind of a preliminary inspection. And as you can imagine, you have 10, 15, 20 times the amount of people. Well, you took that 30 or 40 year inspection time down to like 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
So you can inspect it so much more often. And then we're kind of working on a platform with them that allows them to kind of pull in all these videos from the preliminary inspection, because remember, these are cleaning people, they're not necessarily inspection people, and kind of pull them into a system that allows people to then review and flag, and if they flag an area, then the actual inspection crew will go out there and kind of take a look at it and stuff. And this system has saved these cities so much money, because instead of waiting until there's a big crater in the road or something and, oh, we gotta like shut the road down and do an emergency repair, they'll catch early on, like, oh, there's like a small tree root growing, let's get the maintenance crew out here to kind of fix it and whatever else. So just a really interesting project in which we've combined traditional manufacturing and equipment with digital in order to really realize a lot of ROI for everyone involved.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have some, I mean, we could probably go on and on and on, right, about all these different cool projects.
Sure.
And it's pretty neat to see how cross-industry they are, too, because it's not just one industry. We're seeing it in manufacturing, or we're seeing it in the employee recognition space. I mean, bringing it back home to Ask an Innovator, honestly, that's a huge part of the reason why we're doing this podcast, right, is we're trying to learn something from every single industry, and we think it's so important that we learn from each other and we build relationships with each other so that we can learn all these concepts of whether they're culture or whether they're using cool new technology, like you talked about IoT, you know, and, or, you know, we've talked to many customers and used AR, VR, you know, that's a cool thing as well. So being able to learn from each other and apply these concepts is really at the root of Ask an Innovator, right?
Exactly. So every company in every industry can be innovative.
That's right. You know?
It's very systematizable. There's a number of, you know, exercises you can go through, and then a number of areas you can look at. You can look at it kind of from a business standpoint and ROI standpoint, and no matter who you are, you know, you can be innovative.
That's right. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, I mean, this is a great first episode. We just wanted to introduce ourselves again and talk a little bit about innovation. And I hope you're looking forward to the next podcasts that we're about to do. They're going to be really cool. They're going to be all different industries. So watch for those and look forward to them. So thank you all for listening. And this is the first episode of Ask an Innovator.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
All right. See ya. Thank you for listening to Ask an Innovator. Visit us on our website, www.askaninnovator.com. This podcast has been sponsored by City Innovation Labs.